Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Sandy Seashore coming to you from San Diego. It's happy hour, where don't we all take life a little too seriously? I'm really sorry we're running a little bit late, but that's how things happen with internet radio sometimes. Anyway, I have a fantastic guest coming on in about 10 minutes, James Gilliland. UFO James, he's the one in Trout Lake. You know about him. He has his own show on Saturday afternoons. We're going to talk about UFOs. He's involved in a real sort of way. And but before we get into that, I just wanted to tell you that everybody in San Diego is doing pretty good after the fires. I know the holidays are coming and a lot of people don't have their homes, but everyone's pitching in. And then we've got a little concern for the weather next week because we do have a new Santa Ana coming in with the perfect fire conditions. So the firemen are all on alert. So anyway, the holidays are coming up, and I put up my Christmas tree last night, my fake Christmas tree, along with my fake fireplace. It looks just great. So, okay, well, we're going to start off, and we're going to say hi to Tommy. He's the talent coordinator for the Comedy Store up in L.A., and he always knows he's actually where all the action is because we're on Sunset Boulevard up there, and I'm with the Comedy Store down here in La Jolla. So, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, Sandy?
Nice talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a few days.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm doing really well.
Good.
The weather's a little warm.
We've been
in the 80s.
Yep.
So, it's been pretty good over here. Just gearing up for the holidays.
Yeah. And we're already got busy. This last weekend was a lot busier here. People already in from out of town.
The tour.
For Thanksgiving and stuff like that.
Last week we talked about Ahmed and his guys. They went over to
the Middle East, basically.
The Middle East. Have you heard anything back from them? Are they gone?
Oh, yeah, they're there, and they're doing a tour right now, and they're doing very well. They keep in touch with your mom. You know, everybody calls Mitzi.
Right.
So Ahmed's calling her from Dubois.
if any new listeners, the Comedy Store was founded in 1972 by basically my father, who was Elvis Presley's opening act, and then my mother won in the divorce settlement, the Comedy Store, and built it to what it is today. And I'm over here in La Jolla doing the PR.
Well, yeah, and you run in the La Jolla Store, which is really a really great mainstream show down there this weekend, too.
Who's there? I mean, that's a dumb question, but I don't pay that much attention.
Well, I know you pay attention when you go over there. Sandy, you're the kind of person that oversees it from the emotional aspect of what kind of feels like in there.
How
you ride with the manager and stuff in there. Because you went in there and you said that it feels okay when he's doing everything in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Whenever you give me your pointers, I call them and I give me your pointers because that gives it an artist's touch, you know?
You know, it's really interesting. I go in there, you know, I teach my stand-up comedy class. I go in there and I can just feel the energy in the room and I can know what's up just by feeling what's going on.
Yeah, you do.
That's all. It's as simple as that.
And your mom believes in your feelings, so she listens to them. I don't know why it may not exactly make her mind change, but she listens to what you have to say.
Isn't that nice?
So that type of stuff. So anyway, the show down there this weekend is really good. Mike Marino is headlining. Mike's a big national headliner, HBO specials, Comedy Central. He's been a character actor. He's been in lots of shows, King of Queens and stuff like that. Also, middling for him, Vargas Mason, who was on Last Comic Standing this season.
Oh, okay.
Really strong comic. And then opening, Fraser Smith, who does our Monday night series, been with your mom in the store since he said he started here in 78. And so he's been here off and on. So he MCs on Mondays, and he's going down and opening that show down there. So very professional. Fraser Smith, Vargas Mason, Mike Marino.
It's a whole new generation. We started in the 70s, and there was a group. Those were the role models that are going on for these guys today, like the David Letterman,
Jay Leno, Freddie Prinze.
Yeah,
come on, it was just unbelievable.
That was
Robin Williams.
Yep, that was the first group, and I knew who was going to make it and who wasn't.
And let's also mix in there that Richard Pryor was there all the time.
By the way,
Richard Pryor was the headline.
A lot of these guys that disappeared, and it's like, what happens? Why, you know, we only know the ones that succeeded, but we don't hear about the ones that didn't.
Well, you know what? I've really come to find out a little bit about that as I've been here. One of it is some of them go out to be road comics like Steve Middleman, and they're on the road forever doing corporate gigs and stuff like that. And then you got guys who form into other things. Like we have a guy just started working out here, a guy named Dan Barton, who's actually been in production working with E! For the past 7 years.
That's true. Some people
got in the production side.
Right. They'll start in stand-up. They'll make a lot of connections, and they'll go into some other...
Their personalities will lead them into work.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, Tommy's like the club psychologist.
Oh,
he's got all the fires. Believe me, whenever there's a problem, Tommy, he's so like equal, even
try. This is very interesting to have all these many types of people all here in the same rooms together. Your mom's like, wow, that's the part no one really ever took in consideration. She goes, they're all nuts. So
they
everybody
are nuts.
Trying to keep them so they all get along with each other and you know all those things.
I think I'll do stand-up comedy for a living. A lot of people do that, and they don't realize you have to be organized, smart.
Yeah.
You have to be able to market yourself.
Yeah, and you have to be a certain creature, which your father is, somebody who craves to do that as for what with a feeling that they get from it and the feeling that they give to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. I really come to believe about this anybody out there listening, I know you say, oh, I see my stand-up on television. You have to, just like people have to experience theater once in a while, you have to go and see it in a real room. That's when you feel the energy. Isn't that right, Sandy?
Yeah, absolutely.
The energy from the performer, it goes through you, and the energy comes back from you, and there's a circle of energy that goes in the room, and it makes everybody feel good.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, the comedy, you know, I take it really seriously. I just think, what's better than laughing?
Yeah, it's just everybody needs it. It's really good for people.
I want to make people laugh on this radio show. I don't know. I'm a pretty serious person. I just think people take life too seriously with
you have
what's
to
going on.
Take it. You have to laugh a little bit, okay? It's all silly in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you try to do the right things. Laughter can lead us to good feelings, and good feelings can be about people trying to treat each other right and do the right thing. So that's what laughter is a contributor of, I feel.
But, the thing that, you know, it's not because I'm a family member of the Comedy Store, but so many clubs closed down all over the place.
It got really hard. It's coming back a little bit right now because there's a new generation of people that people are becoming interested in. A lot of these guys, like we have working out in here right now, your mom's actually been growing in here for 7 to 9 years, but they're all like
that's
in their early 30s
takes,
and stuff
by the way.
Now.
It takes that long.
Yeah.
It really does.
Your mom says to me, though, she goes, you can't tell comics that in the beginning because they have no idea how big the journey is in front of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
they think they're ready right away. You know?
I know. They'll go 3 months and they're at it.
They're like,
know?
Oh, I got it all figured out.
Right. It's not so easy, believe me.
And one of the things we produce here, too, are comics who are truth of self. It's very important. And you do that, too, with your class. You're very good at bringing out the people. You've talked to me about that. The people's
comics
self.
Based on truth.
Right.
But what we do in class is we start with something that's true, and then we bend it by adding little white lies and exaggerating to make it funny.
That's
it's
cool.
pretty basic.
Yeah.
But we do. You know, I work with people. We turn people into characters. We don't sit around and write jokes.
That's funny.
So, what's funny?
No. All of it. It's good.
So, we're not closed during the holidays. We're open 365.
You got it. Even Christmas night here, they did like 40 people last year, and then the one down in La Jolla, they did like 70.
Oh, we're open Christmas night down here? I don't know.
If it's unless it falls on I think it falls on Tuesday this year, so I don't think you will be this year.
Oh, okay.
Because we're closed Monday, Tuesday down there.
Yep.
Which makes sense. Okay.
It's the things are calming down around here, you know, because of the fire and all that. It's just a little sad that some people don't have a place.
Well, one of the things I think we can be confident about is FEMA and the government are going to make sure that they really do bite right by these people, especially after what happened in Louisiana. The only thing that's coming back on that is they're trying to claim, oh, yeah, you take care of the white people, but you leave us down here. It's like, yeah, but these were people who were living in multimillion-dollar homes that got burned up. You weren't, you know?
Yeah, and the fact is, you know, San Diego, I mean, maybe we're a little snotty, but when there's something that happens, people do support each other in a big way. I mean, this lady lost her dog and everything.
Yeah.
The whole group's getting together to help find her dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of nonprofit going on out here.
To quote the movie Starman, humans are at their best when things are at their worst.
That's true.
That's the quality that the alien says he likes most about humans. And that's very accurate.
It is true.
I actually saw people in L.A. be nice to each other after 9/11. I'm not kidding you.
No, it's true.
People were stopping at the light and laying, you go ahead, because here, I mean, there's so many aggressive personalities in here. Everybody's out for themselves.
That's
what gives it a strange vibe, because it's actually a very beautiful city and beautiful weather and everything, you know? But, man.
I wonder where people are listening from. You know, we're going to have, people are going to be able to call in tonight if they want.
Nice.
To talk to James, UFO guy. There's this place up in Trout Lake that the UFOs go to. You know, me and my UFOs.
Well, that's important
and
stuff to talk about.
Did you hear about Larry King? They did. He had a whole piece on UFOs.
Yeah.
You know, with Shirley MacLaine.
Was he supportive or was he denouncing it?
Oh, he's just reporting it.
Oh, that's great.
You know, he's just a reporter.
I know.
But they're coming forward. And James has been doing this for a long time, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's been obvious. And I've just, as a matter of fact, ironically enough, not since you're going into the subject, but before I went to sleep last night, I watched on the History Channel a thing about UFOs throughout history and how they've been exemplified in artwork.
Mm-hmm.
On walls, on in many paintings. A lady wrote a book. They said her name. I'm sorry, I can't quote it right now. But she wrote a book that specifically pointed out where there are pictures of UFOs in famous paintings. They're in them.
I saw that.
And that's very interesting. So, I mean, come on.
They're very real.
It's almost like trying to say things like we're the only things alive in the whole universe. I mean, come on. It's just like that's ignorance.
I know. I had my own visits.
I know. Yeah, you've talked about it.
Yeah, I have my own. I haven't been the same since.
Well,
maybe that's why I'm still doing comedy. But okay, so Tommy, thank you so much.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me, Sandy.
We're gonna take a quick break and come back with James. And I'll talk to you next week. And you know, find some. You know, let me know when Ahmed comes back because I want to get him on the show.
Well, they're gonna come down and do the show, and they're in January, or February. They told me to keep it open. So.
Oh great.
We'll get all the arrangements made, and everyone will get to hear about their adventure too, because they truly have taken comedy to the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the Middle East doesn't have any comedy clubs.
Well,
and this is, you know, I've been just dying to know what's going on over there.
All of their comedy that they do is acceptable for them to laugh at. No one should be offended. Doesn't go anything into opinion other than making light fun of things that they could make fun of themselves. They've all been very smart about it. But your mom also cooked them in here for 8 years.
Yep, I know. She cooked them up.
Yeah, she does all her spots and puts them in places and gives them challenges and pulls new parts out of them, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you know, it's all very fun to watch as a guy working with the talent here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm going to go.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week. Have a great evening.
Wave of the future, that the wave of the future will come.
Hello. This is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on bbsradio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour. I'm coming to you from San Diego, California, where we're all in one piece. And we're ready for our big event for the night. We have James Gilliland on the line with us, UFO James. Hey, you're up in Trout Lake, right?
Yep.
So James has a show on BBS on Saturdays. At what time?
It's at 8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock in the evening, and I'm so happy you're on Happy Hour because UFO is one of my favorite subjects. And you also, if you go to the BBS Happy Hour, there's links to James's website and information. Now, I was just talking to Tommy at the Comedy Store about the Larry King Live broadcast.
Yes.
That there was a convention of from, what, 7 different countries and I think 14 speakers, and they were revealing the fact that, yes, they did see UFOs, and now it's kind of getting to the point where, you know, you can't keep things from us, but this is what's going on in my opinion. They're going, well, I did see a big orb flying around. I can't say it was an alien inside of it, but it sure was something flying around I never seen before. So it's kind of people are not admitting to it. And you talked about you have this new DVD out called Contact Has Begun, and you were talking about people, their belief system. You know, they had a skeptic on Larry King Live. I wanted to just poke him in the eyes because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so it's based on people's belief system, but you have been blazing the trail. You're like the pioneer.
And we've been doing it for quite some time here, about 20 years.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to come up there. I mean, years and years ago, I wanted to, I don't know, 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago, I wanted to come up to where you were and see this.
Hey, your family's up here contacting everybody.
Who is?
your other family, your off-world family that's already paid a visit to you.
I'm homesick.
Yeah, on one of the, you can hear me in one of the videos, I'm filming these two beautiful ships coming in and they power up. And we had Boeing engineers here. One time we had almost 30 Boeing engineers here when these ships put on a show. And you can hear me in the background. I'm going, take me home. I go, there's no intelligent life here that I forgot about. I was just joking around, but it came out on the...
I heard your producer of the film told me that if you're standing next to a camera that your right side makes the battery die. I mean, what was that?
They came up with a real exotic camera to take a lot of stills for the movie. And he left the charger at home. His son, Chase, left the charger at home, and he was kind of upset, and I could just throw me the battery. And so he threw it to me, and while they were filming the part, I just held on to it for a little while and then tossed it back to him, and it was fully charged. So
it was charged, really?
Yeah, I've had this ever since. Well, I had a near-death experience quite a few years ago, and it blew me wide open, and I became ultra-sensitive and shifted into what I call interdimensional mind. And I can go out of body and actually film it. I've had people film it. In my bio on the website, you can see where I'm actually going out of body. You can see one body leaving the other body.
Can you, if you, like, touch people, can you recharge them up? Or do you have, like, the psychic insight to people's, like, other lives? Or could you, do you have a knowing now?
Yes.
People?
I can read somebody's books. I can go into past life or birth trauma or any kind of trauma that happened to them.
Oh, I have lots of trauma in my family.
Well, come on up.
When you sent me an email, did you feel there was some, because, you know, we were talking about UFOs. I was kind of making fun. And
mm-hmm.
And you must have sensed there was something going on there because you sent me an email. Basically, you said the show was funny, but I didn't realize who you were when you sent the email, and all of a sudden I put it together, and I got very excited because you're the pioneer.
I like humor. I love humor. I have a wicked sense of humor. I've been chastised for that one occasionally.
Do you, the off-planet beings, I know they have sense of humor, don't they? Or actually the ones that are more human-like. Probably.
Yeah, you know, they're just blissed out. When you experience them, you just feel this incredible exchange of energy, and it's kind of a giddy energy. It makes you really giddy, but the jokes they don't really get. You know, it's but they just hold that frequency. Like when you're laughing and you're really high, they're on that frequency. It's kind of hard to explain, but
I understand. Is now. The ships, you're by this mountain called Mount Adams.
Yes.
And the ships go in and out of that mountain. Is that, and you think there's an underground world going on there?
Well, there's been about well over 100 years of documented evidence with fire tower operators and forest rangers and police and tribal police. And even Kenneth Arnold lost sight of the ships in his sighting in 1947 when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, which is right in my front yard. But we've watched them go in and out of that mountain. We've watched, looks like doors open up on the mountain, huge lights that are just enormous and things going in and out. And we watch objects go right into the mountain. They don't even slow down. They're moving very fast. And they have a way of dematerializing and then just rematerializing on the inside. So,
you know, I think people have seen so much Hollywood movies that when they start actually seeing UFOs and things that you're talking about, they won't be so scared. But, you know, at the same time, there's still a lot of fear around it. And
mm-hmm.
by the way, should we have fear around, you know, these flying saucers?
You shouldn't have fear around anything, basically.
Because aren't there bad ones?
Well, yeah, but, you know, the fear actually draws the experience. And if you're standing in your own self-authority and know who you are and you have contact with the higher beings, any low-level contact pretty much stay clear of you. There was contact in the past with some what I call low level. They're not really bad, but they have their own agenda and they don't really care about our own emotions. You know, some of the grays don't have emotions at all, so they do a lot of their experiments and traumatize humans, our emotions. So.
I heard that these grays are the future humans. Have you heard that one before?
I've heard that one. I don't necessarily believe it, only because there's a long, long history of these. Even in the pyramids, they're documented. So they used to fall into a category in very ancient times. They call them the Archons, and they have some reptilian beings and some beings that look just like grays. And they say, you know, these levels are to be avoided, and you want to move up to the higher levels, the more spiritually and technologically advanced beings, and they've been around forever too, as well.
I had a visit by three grays, and they downloaded a whole bunch of symbols into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what those symbols are about, or what? Have you heard anything like that before?
I do. I had a friend here, and he was a Korean prince that was here, and he was a Qigong master and Kung Fu master, and he was here for a while, and it was funny because he goes, I'm not going to go public unless they come down really low. And these ships dropped right in on him, and he just froze and didn't even lift his camera up. He had a $7,000 camera on his shoulder. And you know, you take somebody that's that fearless and that, that well-trained, and it just, you know, he just went into shock almost watching
me. What did they do with him?
Well, he started showing me some of the petroglyphs.
Hieroglyphs.
The hieroglyphs or whatever that they got off the Roswell site.
They look like these crop circles, a lot of it.
Yeah, and what he said, that's a very, very ancient form of cuneiform, and he could actually read most of it. And one of the bars said, the king of light is coming, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, said the king of light. Is, and he said he thinks this other symbol means coming or here or something like that, but he said definitely it said the king of light on this one of these bars.
Well, that's good to know. I think there's maybe a few hundred people in the world I heard that can do this kind of writing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard from because I researched it for about 10 years afterwards.
Yeah.
What are these things floating around? And then, when you died, would you say your ability came in because you went to the other side and came back, or would it be because in your movie, Contact Has Begun, you talked about this being that you had this thing on your chest or something, or they opened up your mind so you got to learn all your past lives and
all these things. Well, it started very young. I used to see the ships when I was a kid and had contacts even as a kid. And then I got into social consciousness and, you know, was making my mark in the world and everything. And I kind of put all that behind me. And then I had the near-death experience, which put me on an intense spiritual journey. And I was studying with lamas and yogis and some of the best process-oriented, therapy people on the planet. And at about 10 years into that of intense training is when I made contact again, and that was after the near-death experience. And what I found out was that these beings are extremely very ancient. They're very spiritually and technologically advanced. Some are 2 million-plus years ahead of us, in the time flow as we know it. And, we have to rise to the occasion. You know, it's like going down and playing with the monkeys. You know, you got to find one that you can talk to that you can work with, or it's just go down and watch the monkeys. That's all it is.
They're making themselves known now. I heard this was the year, the next couple years that they're going to, or it was 2012, I don't know, that they're actually going to start appearing more and more. And the fact is that mainstream news has now finally caved in. And they're finally saying, yes, this is real. And, what are they going to do? I mean, why are they coming? Are they angry at, that's the wrong word, that we're a warring planet?
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned about in your movie that you know, again, you know, we're reliving the past, or we're not living in harmony. And how can we live in harmony? And maybe they're coming here to help us.
Yeah.
Evolve.
You know, the truth of the matter is that in very ancient times, they're finding out now that Atlantis and Lemuria were for real. Actually, Atlantis is thawing out right now. It's because of the only good thing about global warming is that we're going to discover Atlantis, you know, in Greenland and that area, because the pole shifts ended up in that area. And they're going to find the temples and everything else. But those were once Pleiadian colonies. They started out as Pleiadian colonies, and they drew other star nations to them as well.
Ooh, I got the chills.
Yeah, so Atlantis and Lemuria were Pleiadian colonies. And it was basically Eden, and the Earth was designed for us to live in harmony with each other and nature and evolve to our highest potential. That was the original intent set for the Earth. And we got hijacked along the way by some very dark spirits, you might say, and some other beings that that are still in office right now, you might say.
The dark and the light, there's like no middle ground anymore. I think
And so basically there's a new shift of energy, just an immense energy coming in that's going to set things right. And it's working in mysterious ways through the unified field, through the collective consciousness. And you're going to see everybody just start waking up very, very fast right now. And they're going to go back to the basics again, you know.
Is this going to be in 2012? Is that what that's all about?
Well, you know, they told me this November, for years I've been saying that this November you're going to see incredible social and political changes, economic changes, but the cover-up is going to be pretty much over by the end of November.
This November?
This November, and it pretty much, I would say, you know, they did a Times CNN poll a while back, and they said 86% of the people believe that UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. So,
I bet they're gonna send some representative out to talk to the people. I mean, they'll land on their ship, and they'll go, Wilma!
Yeah.
Hey, where's Fred? Take a look. Look at them there over there. Look at those strange animals. I mean, who knows what, you know, people, their belief systems are, I mean, it could be scary if you're really highly religious.
Yeah, that's the 14%, you know, but, you know, even the Pope is, you know, they're coming out with, they have people within the Vatican that are saying UFOs are real, they're not to be demonized, there are other races out there. I think it's Balducci or something, I can't remember what his title is, but... or Balducci, I'm not sure of his last name, but he came out, and he's an official, you know, person with the Pope, and he made it very clear their stance on it. So, I mean, Billy Graham said they're God's other angels. So,
where do you see yourself in what's coming? What do you see yourself doing now? You laid the foundation for all of this.
Well, what I'd love to do here is actually, you know, create a galactic university where there's an exchange of knowledge and technology all geared towards the awakening and healing of humanity, Earth. That's my main function. And we're having such incredible flyovers here. Sometimes we see over 100 in just one night. And then other times, we've had some dead nights where we've had just zip, you know, every once in a while, but it's not very often.
Do they come over San Diego?
You know, they're everywhere now. I'm sure with all the fires and everything, they're going to be there doing what they can and on an inspirational level and trying to guide people here and there.
Is it going to be through telepathic, or are they going to actually physically?
Telepathic, and you're probably going to be seeing their ships down there, too. I know all along California, especially the fault line, they're very active, and people have been seeing them. I just got a Filer's file. He's one of the UFO reporting centers, and he said right now they're seeing all over the U.S. He said almost every state in the U.S. is having sightings right now.
And I think people are in denial. I'm not being skeptical. I'm just being, you know, a little realistic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd really love to see one over San Diego. I mean, you know, we need it.
Oh, you'll be seeing it. You know, I'm sure you'll be seeing them everywhere here pretty soon. I'm sure between now and December there's going to be some pretty major sightings.
How exciting. This is so exciting. So when you're saying they can communicate with us, I mean, I've been waking up lately every morning to some little purpley, wiggly thing, you know, like right in my face.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's somebody from the other side or that's energy.
That's the ultra-dimensionals, you know, that are working with you.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, exciting. Well, I told them to go away for a day because I need to get some work done.
I bet you've been waking up at 4 in the morning and having a ringing in your ear.
Oh, I'm having a lot of ringing.
All kinds of tingling in your body here and
there. Yes, dizziness, all that stuff.
Yeah, it comes with the territory.
Well, ever since I've been in contact with James, I have had a very big energy shift around me, which is delightful, by the way.
Oh, good.
And, you know, let's take some calls.
Okay.
See if anybody wants. Do you want to do that? Take some calls?
Sure. You know, one thing I tell people is to come and see for yourself. I think it's really important. We've got thousands of witnesses. I stopped cataloging after about 7,000 or 8,000.
Oh, my God.
But,
Do you get to go in the ships at all?
I've had that experience just one time on a physical, and then one time they just hit me in the chest with that beam that we were talking about, mm-hmm. and it took me right out of my body on the ship.
What are the ships, what are they like?
There's different types of ships. Some ships are physical, and when they power up, they become more of an energy or a light principle. And there's some ships that aren't physical at all. They're just pure energy, and then some ships are magnetized light. And then they have ships that are called pure consciousness. They're Merkaba vehicles, you might say.
And they can go to, like, antimatter universe, or can they switch universes like that?
They can jump dimensions very easily. Some can, some can't. You know, some are limited. But,
I have another odd question. Oh, my gosh, so many odd questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something called, like, a rejuvenation chamber where you can go into some chamber on a ship and rejuvenate all your cells in your body?
Well, actually, those are here on the planet right now.
Oh, because I think I was in one of those because all the cells in my body were popping, and I know I had a visitation.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what that was.
People go, why are UFOs a threat? And I always tell people, well, you think about it, okay, who's running the planet right now? You've got the war industry, you have the pharmaceutical industry, and you got the oil industry, basically. And you really think about it, okay, here you have these extremely advanced off-world visitors coming. They've probably cured every disease known to man and then some. You know, they have fuelless technology, counter-gravity, anti-gravity, and they stand for universal peace. And so everything that they are is actually a threat to our society right now and who's running things. Now, they aren't a threat to the common people, but the leadership is just not listening to the masses anymore, and we really don't have much of a say-so in where things are going.
Which is kind of mind-boggling to think about. We put these people in office, and they're controlling us.
Yeah, and then we put them in office, and then we put people in office to get rid of the ones in office, and they go along with the program. So one of these days, people are going to figure it out that we don't have a voice, and we need to go back to the original plan, you know, which for America was a republic, not a democracy, and we need to get back to the Constitution and get our basic rights back.
You think we'll see that in our lifetime?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to see that before 2012.
We're going to see it by the end of November.
That would be nice. I would love to see it that fast, but things are going to move really fast. I think the collective consciousness, you might say, is just done with all this. They're done with the wars. They're done with the corruption.
And the most ironic thing is that they are making war to make peace, which is just so backwards that it's laughable. And I would say thank God for comedians because that actually shows the stupidity of, you know, how society is in a very high intelligent way of, you know, without getting angry.
Well, it's democracy at the end of a barrel, you know, and nobody would go for that. I mean, you tried that in this country, what would we do? You know, so it's the same thing.
By the way, isn't Mount Adams near Mount St. Helens?
It's quite a ways away.
But you can still see it.
Yeah, I'd love for it to blow again and send some nice fertilizer over here because everything grows like crazy.
What, aren't you concerned where you're living about any of your... Because I was living in Seattle for a while, and I just felt not very stable didn't feel very stable there.
Well, it's not very stable there. It's going to undergo some major changes in that area.
But you're inland, right?
Yeah, we're east of the Cascades, so we're on the other side of the mountain range, and we're up high too. So
that's about 2,000 feet. I looked it up on the
Just we're in this pristine little valley, and you know, they're having these storms all around us, and they had over 200 mile an hour winds last year.
Oh my
in
God.
This one storm, and you know, our little area here, nothing happened at the sanctuary here, and we have a lot of dead trees here and things. Nothing went down. We didn't have one problem, but all around us was a disaster zone.
So people are probably thinking, where should I go for all these earth changes? I guess, I don't. What would you tell people?
I'd go for high ground, and it's not a good idea to be on the coast right now because there is going to be an upwelling, you know, in the ocean.
Well, I'm about 8 miles from the ocean.
Uh-huh. How high are you?
I don't know. Not very high.
Yeah.
Love San Diego.
Yeah, you know, I've spent a lot of time in that area, and actually my parents had a house in Laguna Beach, and I used to go down to San Diego and do talks every once in a while. I love the area. I mean, it's great. The weather's awesome.
But, not lately. We're having these heat waves, and, you know, I just feel that there's this huge shift, you know, happening.
Yeah.
And it depends. I just follow my instinct.
Here's some real common sense. Basically, the Earth is overheating. We all know that. It's expanding, and that pressure, especially with the solar maximum we're in, where the sun, it's quiet right now, but I know it's going to start up again. But all that energy is going into the poles, and the Earth is heating up. The whole mantle is heating up, and that pressure has to be released. And so the Earth is expanding. The poles are melting, and so you're going to have movement, you know, in the oceans. You're going to have upwellings and things in the oceans with the expansion of the Earth, as well as the poles melting. So the coastlines, I mean, in England right now, they're telling the people, you know, give it up. They're saying get off the coast, that we're not going to be able to maintain them anymore.
How far off the coast are you talking? Like, how far inland should someone be from the coast?
Well, if it was me, it depends on how drastic of a move you want to make. But you know what I'd tell people, and this sounds outrageous, but it really does work. Get a map of the United States and go into meditation and ask your own main teacher and guide to come in and do clearings. And just get a pendulum and hold it over the map, and it'll start spinning. If you want to get real outrageous, get a world map. You know, maybe there's some other
place. I guarantee you, everything will sink, but the Comedy Store will be there. Because of the good energy.
Yeah.
Everything around it will be like a moat.
This place up here, even the Native Americans call this place Sweetgrass. They have a name for it. And they said it's going to be the new Eden. And after all the earth changes, they said this is going
I
to be the, the...
But it's like freezing. What is it, like 20 degrees up there?
No, actually it's pretty nice. We have a little rain right now, but it's been T-shirt weather.
Huh.
For us, you know, it's
for
been,
you guys.
It's been, yeah, 60, 65, and it, you know, got up even warmer, you know, a couple days. But
so almost every night you've got all your buddies flying overhead.
Yeah, we're east of the Cascades, so we don't have the Seattle weather where it's all socked in or Portland.
Right.
It's sunny here most of the time, and
I would. I'll just change subjects really quickly. You know, I'd like to have you on again, and I'd really like to find out more about our off-planet friends, maybe about how their worlds are or things that to help educate people, you know, more of what it is that's coming.
Yeah. They're very, very concerned about where we're going as a civilization and also where we're taking the planet. And the Earth is alive. I mean, it's going to do what it needs to cleanse itself. So we just need to be aware of that we're going to go through a quantum leap in evolution here, and part of that is going to be a lot of relocations, you might say. You know, I mean, you just experienced part of that with the fires there. With the erratic weather, you're going to have a major fuel buildup because you'll probably be getting a lot more moisture followed by a drought, you know, and then you get the big winds and a couple matches,
and it goes
crazy. So it's all this, everything's kind of in chaos right now. The jet streams on the planet, you know, the weather. This is
a natural cycle, isn't it? And then we chose to be here at this time.
It is. It's a natural cycle, but it's aggravated by man. The CO2 emissions and all the other things that we're doing, and the all the pollution that we're doing in the oceans and, you know, is part of it. We're aggravating that natural cycle that's making it much, much worse, and so it'll be probably more extreme than it would have been.
So basically buckle your seatbelts.
Be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking like solar power or something like that, because I'm sure our electricity's going to go out.
Yeah. You should have a Comedy Central up here. Have a Comedy Central field trip.
You know, that they will be doing comedy material.
You'll see some comedians speechless. You know, they'll be
I don't have any comedians doing UFO stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because it's still taboo.
Oh, yeah.
It's still very, very taboo, and people copping to it is putting themselves on the line.
Yeah, they have a joke. They told me once, I was meditating, and they told me this joke, and they said, did you hear about the human that thought he was separate from omnipresent? most people won't get that one, you know?
Yeah.
They go, what? What? You know?
Well, you know, we're so busy with the 30-day billing cycle, it's really hard to get off track and you know, think about where do we come from, what are we doing here. You know, so maybe around our birthday time is when we kind of do some thinking, but...
Well, you know, that whole program of happiness through material acquisition is kind of falling apart right now. People are starting to see through it that, you know, that objects just don't have emotions. You know, everything was always generated within self. And, you know, you get the fancy car and then you attach your personality self to it, and then somebody comes and smashes it, and so your self-esteem goes down 5 notches as well as your joy. And
I always felt that the word happiness is just a fleeting emotion, and that, like, just like you said, you get a material possession and it's gone and you're not happy. So I think it's all in the joy that we feel, and that we all take ourselves too seriously is kind of my message.
You know, our natural state is truly this totally loving, joyous, God being. I mean, that's what we are. We just forgot and got sidetracked. And
now, wasn't Earth's original language, wasn't it thought form language?
Pretty much.
Like,
you know,
animals do? Because that's what they, you know, those glyphs that I got, they, you know, they give me all kinds of messages, and they said Earth's original language was thought form.
Yeah, in the beginning, they weren't showing themselves to me, but they were communicating with me, and they impressed very strongly that the more I meditated, you know, the more they'd, like, throw me a bone and show me their ship now and then and things like that.
Huh.
But they said if I kept focusing on my outer senses, that they would back off. And so they made it very clear that I had to do my spiritual work. I had to advance my telepathic abilities and feeling nature, you might say, and become more sensitive. And the more I did that, the more they assisted me and helped me, you know, clear out any of the old wounds and traumas of the past and whatever was blocking that from coming forward.
So do you think if people just became more spiritually aware and started going down that road, that they would feel more joy as far as coming up against all these changes? You know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the fear, you know, if you take martial arts, you'll find out fear is the immobilizer. It's no good. It has really served no purpose whatsoever. And the more you're in fear, the more you're going to, you know, open yourself to other, you know, the very things you fear.
You know what my teacher told me? He's on the other side now, but, you know, 15, 20 years of being my teacher, there's one thing that was pounded down in me that I learned, and the word is called trust.
Yes.
Just to trust when something's going on. Let's say you lose your job, you have to trust that. Mm-hmm. You know, when things happen, just to learn to trust. And because of that, I was able to get through perceived negativity. So I just, you know, think, you know, I trust the fact that I'm on BBS radio. Like, what am I doing on this BBS radio show?
Uh-huh.
You know, why, you know, I trust it. I feel like this is the direction, you know, the right direction. But
well, that's the whole thing, is you have to follow your feelings, and your soul speaks to you through feelings. And it may go against, you know, your rational mind or your material mind or whatever you want to call it, but when you live by that, there's times I've lost everything and everything's come back to me tenfold when I just let go and moved and just went with that flow. Everything, you can't really lose anything, you know.
Because when you start chasing it, it just keeps going further away.
Exactly. And so and now I live pretty simply. I doesn't really matter to me. I don't need all the toys and trinkets which is really bad right now because I have like 5 cars. I hate to throw things away, so I fix things up, you know, and then I usually give them away or something, or give them to nephews or things like that, or nieces.
So the place you're at, are you planning on just having more meetings up there, or are you going to plan on having people build a community more around where you are?
What I'm doing is there's 70 acres here, and I've got a pretty good sized conference building already. And we have about 400 people at a time coming up to these conferences, and I bring in, you know, the top cutting-edge physicists, scientists, people that are really bringing in the new knowledge for the awakening and healing process. Mm-hmm. And it's the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. We have it on July 4th weekend, and we're going to do it again this weekend, too, but... it's almost like a UFO Woodstock. Our fields are just full of tents, and people are doing sky watches, and a lot of music involved.
It's very surreal.
Yeah, and the ships do come in. They do come in and make an appearance. And if you go to the website, you can actually, there's a video there you can download, and it shows not just the UFOs, but it shows all the light spheres and the orbs and all the paranormal activity as well.
That's the ESETI?
Yeah, at ESETI.org.
That's ECETI.
.org.
Yeah, watch that. It's just, you know, finally. And then you have these books, Becoming God 2. There's 2 books you have
out.
Yeah,
Reunion with Source is the first book, and then Becoming Gods is the second book. And then I have The Ultimate Soul Journey, which I just released. That just came out, and it covers a lot of my own experiences and all the way to the near-death experience and experiencing the source on the other side.
By the way, do you have any kids?
I have a daughter.
Oh, okay.
I have an 18-year-old daughter. She just turned 18.
How does she like the... Is she living up near there? Or
yes, she lives here on the ranch. And, you know, the 2 nights ago, we got this new night vision. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But you can look through this. They're almost $3,000 for these things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're worth it. But it turns the night sky into, like, daylight, but all the stars are there. It's just incredible.
It's hard to tell the stars from the UFOs because I look up in the sky every night.
Well, here they're putting on a show for us, but she had the night vision the first time, and she looked up, and I said, look, right over the house, and she looked up, and the ship came in, and it powered up, and it just lit up the whole sky. And
when you say powered up, that means they give you a little light show?
Yeah, they power up the ship, and it's just huge. It becomes a huge
ball of
light.
You know, I wish they'd come out of their ships and do a new reality TV show.
Yeah, I don't think people are ready for that yet.
I would love to do that one. Reality,
yeah.
That'd be really reality.
I don't know. It's just, compared to some of the ones I'm working with, I don't think... Middle America could just even handle...
No, not Middle America, but the bigger cities.
Yeah.
People in, like, Chicago or L.A., they'd be more open-minded to it.
Yeah, they could. They could, but, yeah. You know, a lot of them are very... They're not real entertaining. They're very straightforward. They have a beautiful energy around them, but they just say it like it is and bring it down to basics. And
so, in conclusion, what would their message be overall to us right now?
You know, basically, they want us to get back to Eden, you know, the basic, you know, the original intent on Earth, which was to live in harmony with each other and nature, and, you know, evolve to our highest potential. And you know, they're really hoping. They're working very hard on different levels to inspire us to, you know, end this aggressive war footing we're doing and the separation and the greed and the competition, because that... Eventually, that always takes us on this downward spiral, and if we don't figure it out fast, you know, we are going to basically start over in diapers.
Mm-hmm. I have one big question.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have any dogs for pets?
You know what? Somebody else asked me that, and I haven't asked them that. They do have pets. Some are pretty exotic, I've heard.
I'd like to know about the pets. If you can tell, maybe they can send you a picture, and we can post it.
Yeah,
if you can ask them about what dogs' roles play in this with us.
Well, you know, I asked them if I could take my dog with me, and they said no. And then I said, why? And they said, because it's the dog's role to be here at the ranch. That's its sole purpose. And that it would be interfering with its function there. But it wasn't like I couldn't take it with me. It would be interfering with the soul evolution of the dog. That it needs to finish out its program.
Or maybe it's part of the soul evolution of the dog to evolve.
Well, you know, maybe if it was to be on the ship, I'm sure they'd say hop on, because they have they can see those things. They sense, you know, what's highest and best good for the evolution of everyone.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, I guess we're going to have to wind this up.
Mm-hmm.
But your new DVD is called ContactHasBegun.com.
Yes.
Excuse me, I watched it. It was wonderful.
Oh, great.
And then eseti.org is your website.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you on again.
Anytime.
And I have a website that's under construction,
mm-hmm.
but sandyshore.com. But I also have, I got sucked into the MySpace. So MySpace is my comedy workshop is what it's called. But anyway.
Hey, do you know Ron Howard by any chance?
Not personally, but everybody knows each other, either indirectly or knows of each other.
Yeah, I'd love to send him one of the movies just to see what he thinks about.
Okay, well, I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Well, that'd be great.
Well, maybe.
I mean, he did the movie Cocoon, I think. Yeah, it was Cocoon.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, and he's one of the few people that have done really, I think, Contact with Jodie Foster was another.
Oh, that was my favorite movie. That was my favorite ET movie.
Yeah. I'd love to get those guys a DVD and say, hey, check it out. What do you think? And get some feedback from them.
Well, that's part of our connection.
Okay.
Okay, well, have a great evening.
All right.
And everyone, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back next Thursday. Okay, have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye.